Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 106. We're discussing the Century Tournament of Champions on the PGA Tour. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. I'm Steve Bamford, PGA Tour preview at Golf Betting System. And with me, we have Golf Betting Systems European Tour expert, Paul Williams. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Steve. How are you? How was your Christmas?
Well, we've had December off, haven't we, the two of us? We've been doing a lot of work on other projects. Christmas was great this end. Was Christmas good for you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, Christmas off of sorts, I guess we could say. Yeah, away from golf a little bit to get a break from that, but certainly keeping ourselves busy with various thumbs in various pies, but all good. All good to keep us ticking over.
Paul is in the back end of Norfolk for listeners this week, and we'll see if technology holds up in rural Norfolk. Golfbettingsystem.co.uk is our website. Naturally, we're available on social media. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. Link is in the description box of the podcast. If you're a Twitterer, you can follow Paul at Golf Betting. You can follow me at Bamford Golf. You can look out for the Golf Betting System YouTube channel, where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. The Century Tournament of Champions show has just been recorded and published. Podcast is available on Podbean. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify. It's on Overcast. It's on Buzzsprout. It's on iHeartRadio. So you can listen to it. There's about two pages now on Google of different podcast distributors that you can now listen to the podcast on. We are also on Audio Boom, which was one that we added in the winter. We have a review, as we tend to do. We'll always ask for a review from you guys on iTunes. If you would be able to pull together a review for next week's show, that would be much appreciated. Of course, we will read it out for our Sony Open. Have you got a tournament next week on the European Tour, Paul?
Yeah, it's the South African Open with a field of just 240 players.
Oh, okay, that'd be nice.
Okay, I have to start my research nice and early for that one.
240 players, my lord. So anyway, Paul's got the South African Open next week. He's looking forward to that greatly. I've got the Sony Open that I always seem to get the bloke that finishes second in. If you could write us a review on iTunes for that show, we'd really appreciate it. I've got one here. It's from Jerry Gong. He lives in the United States of America. Jerry, we really appreciate the time and effort that it took you to write this review on iTunes. Title of the review is The Best. He's given us 5 stars, Paul. If you are looking for an elite PGA and Euro Tour insight, this is the place. Helpful for outright and each-way bets, along with DFS. Thank you from Minnesota.
Lovely. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for taking the time and giving us such a lovely review.
I know one thing about Jerry. If he's in Minnesota, it's going to be a damn sight colder in Minnesota than it is here in the United Kingdom right now. Mm. And it's pretty cold here. But nothing of Minnesota proportions. Right, there's a couple of things to mention before we get into the Century Tournament of Champions. I know that we have a new majors competition that you want to tell listeners about. So you crack on with that.
Yeah, it's for the night, this will be our 9th annual GBS majors competition. And Bet365 have kindly stepped up to the plate once again to sponsor our 2020 edition of the majors competition. Dead simple. Instructions are on. We'll put a link through to the instructions page, which is on the site right now. But it's dead simple. You pick 4 different players, one for each of the 4 majors for this year, and you get scored based on their dollar earnings for each of those, or for that particular major competition that you choose to select that player for. Over the course of the 4 majors, we'll tot up the dollar earnings for each of the entrants who've had a go in this year's competition, and we'll create a little leaderboard, and we'll see how everyone's doing. And at the end of the 4th major, which is the Open Championship this year, we'll be able to declare our major competition winner. And there's a first, a second, and a third place prize. First place is £150, or currency equivalent. Second place is £75. Third place is £25. It's effectively a one and done, so you can only use one player for each of the four majors, and you need to enter those players before the start of the Masters. So you need to have your crystal ball out as to who's going to be playing well and doing well by the time you get to the Open Championship. But always an interesting one. And I know a lot of players, or a lot of people like to place a four-fold accumulator or Yankee or similar on the players they select for the four majors at this point in time. So it's an interesting way to keep a bit of interest going for the whole season.
What was the winning score of our winner last year? Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, in terms of the exact score, I couldn't tell you, but they got two of the four major champions right, which is pretty good going, really. And the best we've ever had was three out of four, which when you're picking the major champions, you know, December, January, February, March, even if you're picking them just before the start of the Masters, which you're entitled to do, the closing date isn't until the first tee-off time at Augusta, which is on the 9th of April this year. So you can leave it right up until the last moment if you want. But even so, if you're managing to pick two or three, you know, somehow manage to pluck all four of the major champions out before the start of the Masters, then very well done to you. But yeah, we always get some really good entries. So it's a bit of fun, and some cash prizes up for grabs as well. If you pop along, follow the link that will be in the description here, or there's a link also on Steve's preview this week on the site, or on Twitter, or on Facebook. You can't fail to find it if you have a little look for our competition details this week.
£150 in cash to the winner, and then additional support prizes. Yeah, £75 and £25 for second and third.
Yep. And so, thanks again to Bet365 who've put up the prizes.
So get involved with that. We'll be mentioning that all the way to the first tee-off time at the Masters in April. Another thing I wanted to mention before we get stuck into this week's, or 2020's first tournament, is our Each Way research that we pull together each and every year. We track the amount of each way places that are given away by the leading bookmakers. Of course, 2019 has just finished in terms of the results. I just wanted to highlight to listeners, I'll put a link in the description box to this particular document as well. Paddy Power, they led the way. I'm including in this European Tour, PGA Tour and Major Championships. Paddy Power, 208 additional places across 2019, led the way. From Boyle Sports with 204 additional places. Betfair Sportsbook were then third with 197 additional places. Of course, you can open up a new account via Golf Betting System across Paddy Power or Boyle Sports, who actually gave away the most European Tour spots in 2019 of any bookmaker, Boyle Sports.
Yeah, it was noticeable, wasn't it? They really did start to improve their proposition pretty much from the start of the year, but certainly towards the end of the year, it was really quite consistent. And I think as punters, that's all we want, isn't it? Is a bit of consistency and a bit of regularity to the offers that are out there. Those extra places always can come in handy, particularly with the ties that you often get for golf at the end of the tournament. So
I think we've been banging the consistency drum since we started the Golf Betting System website way back when, 10 years ago, in terms of bookmakers that are constantly giving value rather than, you know, switching and changing week in, week out. So, you know, it's hats off to Paddy Power. It's definitely hats off to Boyle Sports. They weren't in the top three in 2018. Now they've jumped straight into second spot. Others that are worth mentioning, Coral, always offering seven places each way on full field events, both European Tour and PGA Tour. So Coral's a decent account to have on board. We do a new customer offer at Golf Betting System, which is a boosted bet £10 or €10 and get €30, £30 in free bets. That's a boosted new customer offer via Golf Betting System that you wouldn't go if you get you wouldn't get if you went direct to Coral. The other bookmaker that is definitely worthy of notice this time around in 2019 is Betfred. And if we'd have said Betfred 4 or 5 years ago, they were a bookmaker that, from a golfing perspective, were quite a long way off the pace, weren't they, Paul? But it has been noticeable, especially in terms of each way places, that they've been up at 7 places each way, even 8 places each way on some of the bigger tournaments throughout the latter end of 2019.
Yeah.
So overall in our analysis, they for 2019, they gave away 126 additional places, which actually placed them in 6th spot. But if they keep going in 2020 the same way that they have been throughout the latter end of 2019, I'd expect them to be right near the top, challenging the likes of Coral and Betfair.
Yeah. It's good to see this bookies start to get involved with this. You know, it's clearly a big battleground for the bookies to attract the bets of punters who are out there looking for the best terms. So a bit of consistency, as you just said, and also, sometimes breaking the mould. Perhaps someone will go 10 places next week in South Africa, give me a fighting chance of getting a return with 240 men in the field. You never know. 12 places, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
You might end up being able to get, say, 6-1 on Christian Bezuidenhout.
Yeah. Louis Oosthuizen at 5-1 in a 240-man field.
Yeah, or 9-2. I'm sure you're looking forward to it. It's a great event to kick off your 2020 with, isn't it, that one. Now you talk about a 240-man field. This week over in on the PGA Tour, the first event of 2020, I've got a 34-man field. This is the event that always takes place at Kapalua on Maui. Beautiful views of the Pacific. It's the kind of golf tournament that it's an awkward one in the UK. It's very, very difficult to watch any live golf because of the time difference. It's one of those events you tend to watch the following morning when you actually know what's happened the night before on the leaderboard when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, try not to look at the leaderboard.
Or you just don't, your players are really struggling, you don't watch any of it. But it's a winners-only event, and we had qualifiers that aren't playing in this. Brooks Koepka, the world number one. Rory McIlroy played in this last year, but isn't playing in it this year. Tiger Woods never plays it, or he hasn't played it for years. Justin Rose, Francesco Molinari, Phil Mickelson, and CT Pan. Those 7 players have chosen not to play in it this year. We have a 34-man field. So clearly, short field. It's a short field and a very long golf course. We're looking at 7,500 yards. It's above sea level, but it's clearly not that far above sea level because you can see the coastline. So it's not there's no elevation or any kind of altitude to it. Now we've got some very big names in it, and then we've got a field that really does drop away. So John Rahm at 4-1 is the favourite. Justin Thomas at 5-1. Xander Schauffele, the defending champion, at a single digit price of 8-1. It's not often you see Xander single digits. It's also not very often you see Dustin Johnson. I noticed this week, Paul, world number 5. That is the highest he has been, or the lowest he's been in the official world golf rankings since he won the US Open in 2016.
Yeah,
Help. It does help, I suppose, if you play golf tournaments, which he hasn't done.
We've not seen him since Eastlake, have we? So I know he had a little issue with his knee, didn't he? He had a cartilage or something. But I think the plan was that we were supposed to see him not the full series, but the events between Eastlake and...
He did play Shazan, and he played it very poorly. I think he was 28th or something like that. He played the President's Cup as well. But he's no way up to speed. You can grab double digits on Dustin Johnson and make 11-1, which actually probably isn't the best price considering he hasn't played much golf. Cantlay at 12s, Patrick Reed at 14s, Fowler at 16s with Gary Woodland. And then we're out to the likes of Colin Morikawa, Paul Casey at 25-1, and then the likes of Champ, Kuchar, Wunderkind Neiman, Brendan Todd, Matthew Wolf, Kevin Kisner, it does fall away. And we've even got the likes of 1,000-to-1 shot Martin Trainer. What can you say about it? It's an interesting tournament on the basis of the short man field. We're at five places are being offered a 50 odds this week. Standard, industry standard is 4.25. But the likes of Ladbrokes, the likes of William Hill, the likes of Betfair, BetVictor, Paddy Power, Coral, Betfred, Betway have all gone, and Ball Sports have all gone five places and a fifth. So you can get an extra place out of it if you would like that angle. It's a weird setup here. On the side of a cliff, effectively, mountainside. They reckon it's the hardest walk for players and caddies all year. Some serious, serious undulations, both up and down. Lots of blind tee shots. Lots of uphill and downhill holes. Par 73, which is unique on the PGA Tour. We're looking at 7,500 yards plus. Only four par fives, though. And actually, three of the par fives are pretty much reachable to the whole field. There's two at five, one at 5:15, I think, one at 5:20, one at 5:50, which even in modern day golf, 5:50 is reachable pretty much to the whole field. And then you've got the closing 18th, that big 630 yarder down the hill. To add more intrigue this year, the original designers, Coore and Crenshaw, of course, of Pinehurst number 2, and also Trinity Forest, the H.P. Byron Nelson in Dallas fame, they designed this in 91, opened the course. But the course, you know, courses just get old, don't they? Grass wears out, bunkers get corroded, eroded away. They even get moved in certain circumstances. They've renovated this golf course February 2019 through to October 2019. So we're actually dealing now with a new golf course. Now, when I say new, I don't think it's going to be visually that different. But all greens have been relaid and recontoured. Green approaches have been recontoured. We've also got tee boxes that have been moved in lots of circumstances. So I don't think the scorecard, from what I'm reading, although the PGA Tour media website isn't up and running, I haven't seen a scorecard for this. But I would expect some differences in hole yardages. But I still think it's going to be par 73. I still think it's going to be 7,500 yards or thereabouts. Might even be longer. There are going to be changes to the golf course. The main change, though, from what I've read throughout, is the designers mentioning the fact that they wanted to get the golf course to play firmer and faster, as it did when they first opened it in 1991. The aim being that this is such a contoured golf course, and it's also a golf course that can get absolutely hammered by winds.
Yeah, we've seen it, haven't we?
Trade winds from the northeast or Kona winds from the southwest. They're trade winds this week, which is the predominant wind out in Maui. So it's the kind of wind that the course was designed for. But we're looking at 30, 35, gusting 40 miles an hour three of the 4 days this week. So I'm looking for wind players. That's one thing that was absolute paramount to me. Someone that's comfortable in the wind and great at putting in a wind situation. But they're expecting the ball to travel further on the fairways this time around than we've seen. We've seen this golf course play very soft and mundane, quite benign over the years. I think we're going to see a lot more roll on the fairways. They want the ball to go into positions where the contours of the golf course take balls to areas that the golfers don't want it to go into. That's the key here. How it affects scoring? Well, I think if we're looking at strong winds this week and a firmer golf course, strong winds will translate to watered greens, I would expect. I expect the greens would be firmer anyway because they've been relayed. But if it's going to be blowing 35, 40 miles an hour, they're going to have to water these putting surfaces.
Yeah.
So I think what you could see is a scenario where you've got a firm and fast, fairwayed golf course with quite receptive greens, but you've still got some severe winds to be dealing with across Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, so if you've got a player who can play wind adequately. He's got the shot shape and the different shots in his bag to be able to navigate round when it's blowing. It doesn't tend to. I mean, we've seen it really windy there in the past, unless it's, you know, blowing an absolute gale. It's still relatively scoreable, isn't it? As you said in the preview, I think the way the wind is coming over the weekend is likely to make the course play a little shorter, which won't necessarily make it, you know, that much tougher. But clearly, you're going to be able to need to handle that wind with the way you play.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I'm looking at past scores, Paul. I remember a year here. It was blowing so hard they had to cancel about 2 days' play.
15, yeah, I remember it. I remember it. Yeah.
15 under one that year, 2013, Dustin Johnson. But then we've seen years Jordan Spieth 30 under par.
Yeah.
Dustin Johnson won at 26 under par in 2018, and that had significant wins. He did win by a margin, mind. I think with a new, I mean, this is us presupposing this stuff based upon no information from the PGA Tour as yet as to, you know, how the scorecard's going to look. But just reading between the lines, firmer fairways, a lot of wind, new contoured putting surfaces. They're going to be Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass. So the same kind of grass, Tiff Eagle, but they're going to be firmer. We've also got Celebration Bermuda grass. The whole golf course has been relaid. I just get the feeling that a lot of the Tour pros notebooks and distances are going to be mucked up slightly. I reckon potentially high teens winning this as opposed to 23 under last year.
Yeah, or 30 under doesn't feel right, particularly if it is, you know, with new greens when they've been laid, they do tend to be firmer anyway, don't they? Just by the fact that they're brand new greens, so you'd expect that to translate into a few shots off of the winning total.
Size of greens, I think, remains pretty much as it was. It's just the contouring of the greens. They've made them less severe to be able to give them more potential pin placements, which works both for the PGA Tour, but the fact that I think they get 40,000 amateur rounds around her each year, and it wears the golf course out. So yeah, that they're making those greens a lot more playable with more of a view for the amateurs. So that's where we're at with the golf course. This tournament, to me, it's very, very easy to get sucked into the route of pure bombers around here. And I used to, but recently I've become, it's more to me, it's really an all-round test of golf for me. I think you need a player that can create plenty of chances. Bearing in mind, this golf course is always in the top 10 hardest in terms of proximity to hole. Yeah. It's very, very difficult with the size of the greens and the contours of the greens to get consistent approach play to, you know, where you're hitting it close to 8, 10 feet. Nor, you know, around here, 15 to 20 footers are a good chance. And if you just look at Xander, who won last year, Dustin Johnson, streaky putter, Justin Thomas, exceptional putter when he's on form, Jordan Spieth in 16, Patrick Reed in 15. You know, these aren't tee to green ball strikers. Zach Johnson in 2014, Steve Stricker in 2012. These are excellent putters. And that's kind of where I'm leaning in my selections.
Yeah, and there's certainly a mix of lengths there as well. You know, they're not all. I know what you're saying. There's kind of this narrative with this track that it's geared up purely for the bombers, but the winners list doesn't read like that whatsoever. It's a right mix and match of players who are longer, shorter. But yes, the common theme would be that on their game, on their day, these players are pretty damn good putters.
Bermuda grass positive as well, I think.
I've
also, you know, if you look at previous winners here, and I keep my rolling stats over 8 weeks, you often get the winner here that's very, very significantly up towards the top of my rolling putting average putts per GIR mark. And just reading it through, Xander's at one. This is over the last 8 tournaments. John Rahm in 2. None of this will surprise you. Brendan Todd in 3. I mean, if you're winning 2 golf tournaments and almost winning a third at the RSM Classic, you're not putting too badly, are you?
No.
JT Poston at four. I think he could be an interesting chance for a bigger price. Poston. And then Justin Thomas at five with Paul Casey and Gary Woodland rounding out the top seven. So those are guys that have got some confidence with a putter right now. I'll tell you the guys I've tipped. I've gone for win only on Justin Thomas. 11-2 with Ball Sports. That's a win only price. I've backed him up.
I know you fancied Thomas, haven't you? I've fancied Thomas for this for a while.
Yeah. Of the single digits, Thomas, it wasn't too much of a debate mentally for me.
No.
One thing of note, I don't know if you came across this. I mean, I have down-tooled across December. I haven't really followed anything around golf apart from the main headlines. One thing I did notice, John Rahm got married last weekend in Bilbao.
He did, yeah.
And I'm not sure that really would persuade me to get involved with him at 4-1.
No, it's a short price for a player whose focus has obviously been elsewhere over the last few weeks. We saw similar with Ricky Fowler, didn't we? Fowler got married and his form's been way off over the last few weeks, isn't it?
I don't care what kind of support team you've got or what kind of professional team that gets everything sorted for you. I think if you've just been married, the build-up to the marriage, the emotional side of it, the party, the travelling in this case, bearing in mind he's going to have been in Spain, now he's travelling all the way to Hawaii.
Yeah.
That isn't ideal. It can't be.
No.
And at 4-1, you need a player that you need to be ticking every single box. That's my downside on John Rahm. Golf course suits that suits him perfectly. Xander at 8. He does specialise in these low number invitationals, doesn't he? That's what he tends to win. You think about it, he was second at the Tour Championship. That's a 30-man field. He came very, very close to defending in China. If I was selecting one of the top three, my ranking would be Rahm third, Xander two, and I've gone for JT as my number one.
That's
just the way that I'm thinking on this. Justin Thomas, I just think his President's Cup performance, 3.5 points, led the American team. 2 wins with Tiger Woods when playing with Tiger. We know that playing with Tiger can be an absolute poison chalice in some of these President's Cups or Ryder Cups. They bonded nicely. He then racked up another 1.5 points with Fowler in the 2 matches he played with Ricky. Did lose his singles, but 3.5 points. Played very nicely the outing before there at the Hero World Challenge where he played 72 holes with Tiger. I just think that's the kind of thing that will boost him. And I think 11-2 is 11-2. It's not a huge price. I do note in the preview, 4 of the last 10 winners here have been single digit and 2 of the last 4 winners here have been single digit. So if one of the top three does win, for me, it's Justin Thomas.
Yep, I can see your logic.
Average price of the winner here, though, across 10 years is 17-1. If you take that since the wraparound season started, it's 15-1. So, okay, I've gone for a 16-1 chance. I've also gone heavy, 3 each way, Gary Woodland, who was second here last year.
It's going to be a popular punt this week, I think, Gary Woodland.
Playing nicely, isn't he?
Hmm.
I think he was... Let me recap. He was third at the CJ Cup in Korea. He then gave us an each-way place when he played the Zozo. He was in the top 5 there. He was the 54-hole leader at the Hero World Challenge in the start of December. Didn't disgrace himself at the President's Cup. And actually, the putter has been warmer than usual. In fact, he was in the top 4 for putts per GIR at that Tiger event in Albany, Bahamas. So if you put Woodland's tee to green excellence with a putter that's warm, and he putts nicely on Tiff Eagle, he's a great wind player. You know, on a golf course where total driving is such a key stat, you just know with Gary, he's long as you like. He's got that low ball trajectory, that low. It's not a skimmer.
Stinger.
I've got skimmer in my mind. He's got all of that. He can hit three woods just as far as many people hit the driver. I think he's got a great game for around here when the wind's blowing. And actually, he's been scrambling well of late as well, which often is his weakness. He's in the top 5, again, on my rolling scrambling statistics. So I think Gary's got a great chance. I won't mention my third selection because I know that you're all over him like an oily rash. So do you want to mention that you're the guy that you've backed this week?
Yeah, it's the only bet I've had thus far, actually. But I think, again, is another one is going to be popular simply because the price. I think it's a little bit disrespectful for what he's achieved over the last few weeks. And that's Brendan Todd, who is available. I know you've put him down at 45-1 with five each way, a fifth of the odds, William Hill. I was greedy. I took him at 50-1 with a quarter of the odds for top four. But you can play that either way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you can play that either way, depending how you see it. But yeah, Brendan Todd, for a guy who's won twice, finished fourth, and as you said, had a great chance, didn't it, the RSM, to go and make it 3 out of 3, which would have been an incredible feat. Absolutely incredible. But some cracking rounds in that. When he won the Bermuda, he shot a 62 in the final round. He made birdie after birdie after birdie, didn't he, to take that tournament. Won the Mayakoba with a 63 in the first round and hung on to win there. Another 62 at the RSM in the third round on the Saturday. Again, that really teed him up for another assault on the title. I guess he ran out of steam a little bit by the end there. But
and the fact the media had been going on about it all week about, you know, the last man to do it was 2006 Tiger Woods. You know, for a guy of relatively, you know, low status, who hadn't, you know, who'd only won one PGA Tour event until 2 weeks beforehand, that's a lot of pressure.
But
get in that position where he led after 54 holes just shows the standard of golf that the guy's playing right now.
I guess what we'll see is whether this is a flash in the pan or a pretty substantial flash in the pan, or whether he's going to establish himself as a really competitive player. He's just outside the top 50 in the world now, 63rd, I think he was on the last count. So he's got a lot to play for, a lot to fight for over the next few weeks. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. But going back to those wins, the Bermuda Championship was on Tiff Eagle, so there's a decent correlation there. He was third for putting on that week, so clearly reacts on the surface. Mayakoba was coastal, the RSM was coastal. Again, it was Bermuda again, so... his putting performance at the RSM was another notable second for putting average, second for putts per round in old money as well. So clearly putting very nicely on Bermuda putting surfaces. One attempt here on this track, eighth back in 2015.
Yeah.
But tee to green that week, 80% accuracy, 81.9% greens in regulation. Clearly suited his eye from tee to green. So tie it all together, I think. I see no reason not to take a punt just out of curiosity, at kind of 45-50-1, see if he can continue that run of form.
If you look strokes going tee to green, Todd is actually quite prominent because he just hits so many fairways. I mean, strokes gained off the tee. He's a phenomenal drive of the ball in terms of accuracy. So he might not be the longest, but you just know that he's hitting fairway after fairway after fairway. His positional game off the tee is fantastic.
Yep.
And I think that ties in here. You know, his tee to green game has clearly been at the very, very high end. But we just, you know with Todd, he won his first event in 2014. That was the year where he really hit the PGA Tour hard. And his highest rank in the world was, I think it was 41, which came at the turn of 2015. And if you're looking at it from a golfer perspective, to get established in that top 50 is within reach for him right now. So, you know, there's all you know, okay, he's qualified for Augusta. He's got a lot of invites into big tournaments. But if he can get himself, haul himself into the top 50 and establish himself, that's opening a whole new world for Brendan Todd.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a big thing for a player, particularly, you know, who's kind of been there, dropped away a little bit and, you know, is looking to re-establish himself as a top-class player. But, yeah, given what we saw at the back end of last year, who's to say he won't hit the ground running again at the start of this year? And that price could look very, very generous by the time we get to Sunday evening.
I think regrets for me at the end of last year was not but clearly backing Todd at both Mayakoba and the RSM Classic because there was value in his price against some pretty average players.
The price pushed out slightly from his Bermuda win to Mayakoba. I know it was a better field, but even so. for a guy who just won to go, you know, it was 100 to 1, and I think he was available at 110 the week after Maya Gober.
The other thing I noticed about 2014 was that year that he won the Byron Nelson at a very windy Las Colinas in Texas. He then went 5th at the Colonial, 8th at the Memorial, 17th at the US Open, 5th at the Quicken Loans, and 4th at the Greenbrier Classic. So clearly, you know, back then he was stringing 5, 6, 7 tournaments together, contending performances. Yeah. So there's no reason why I don't see him go well this week. Although, in reality, I think Wailea next week, the Sony Open, will be a course that suits him far more. So I think you and I need to be in the headspace, Paul, that if he disappoints this week, you follow up. You definitely follow up next week as well on Todd.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a reason to suggest that he won't go well both weeks? Well, as you said, he's a guy who seems to be able to hold his form for a prolonged period of time when he finds it. I suspect when at some point he'll go right off the boil again, as we often see with these golfers. But if you can get him for some decent prices while he's still warm, then so be it.
Did you come close on any other players?
The one who kept catching my eye was Matt Kuchar, but there's not enough in his game recently to really give me the confidence that he's worth a punt. But
we know he's played the track.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with the wind in the forecast, he's played the track a lot. He gets on with Bermuda. There wasn't enough of a spark there in weeks before Christmas to really give me the confidence to pull the trigger on him. But no, other than that, Todd was the knee-jerk reaction when I saw the odds at the back end of last week, and I may well just stick with that particular one and be done with it this week.
There were quite a few markets up last week, weren't there? I'm getting confused with my weeks because of Christmas, but I know that Todd's been backed as soon as those markets would come, because there was 50 to 1 about him.
There were a few players who dropped out as well, so I know people got some decent prices on the likes of Woodland, early prices of 22 to 1 when there were still 40 odd players being quoted for this, but as a few have dropped out, naturally the markets had to adjust accordingly, so some prices have taken a bit of a knife to them anyway.
As I note in my preview, we've had the likes of Brian Harman at 33 to 1. We've had Pat Perez at both 33 to 1 and 80 to 1. And we've had Brant Snedeker at 66 to 1, all placing here in the last 4 or 5 years. So, unless we have a Jonathan Bird type shock, 50 to 1 that was back in 2011, and if there's going to be one guy that might shock, it could be Todd, that's clearly playing the golf of his life. There will be someone at that kind of price point, especially this year with not the super best field that we've seen here. Someone is going to come in at that kind of each way spot, that kind of juicy 33, 40 to up to 50 to 1 price that's going to probably nick a spot. I just think Todd's the most likely of those guys.
No, I agree.
Personally, I would rather be on Brendan Todd than someone like Cameron Champ. Although I can see why people are getting excited about Champ, because they're going down this absolute, this bomber route, which is so easy to get sucked into here.
Yeah. If you subscribe to that narrative, that angle, then it's difficult to push yourself away from someone like Champ. But I'm with you. I think Todd's the better bet at that kind of price point.
Right then. So for me, Thomas and Woodland, and for both of us, Brendan Todd. Those are the players that we're backing this week at the Century Tournament of Champions. Right, short show, only one tournament to discuss. We're going to go on our merry way and look forward, of course, to New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in the next couple of, or next 48 hours. It's up to, we'll wish you, of course, a merry, what am I talking about? New Year, a happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yeah.
Happy New Year to you, Paul. Happy New Year to listeners. And we will be back, of course, for next week's. We're actually back to normal next week, aren't we? We're back to the full working week. And we'll be back with the Sony Open on the PGA Tour. And Paul has got the delightful South African Open on the European Tour. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year. And we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.